Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Tuesday morning with me, Dave Chapsmith, Community Connections, and it is garden editor. Claire is on the telephone. Good morning to you, Claire.
Oh, good morning. What a beautiful, beautiful spring we're having. Are you enjoying the sun?
It's been all right. It's been good, isn't it? So far, it's meant to get up to 20 degrees on Friday, apparently.
I know. So this is where I do the boring health and safety. Please put wear sun protection. I know. But we're all getting very excited, us gardeners. It is a bit dry out there. Maybe a little bit too dry, but we are so grateful. Because I think maybe it's encouraged lots of people out into their gardens, Dave. We've had loads of questions, haven't we?
We have, yeah. We've had what? 8 or 9, have we?
8 or 9, yeah.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah. This is going to be like a speed
like a speed dating,
speed responding.
Okay, it'd be questioning.
Speed questioning. So
all right then.
So
okay, over to you then. What's the first one?
Okay,
you got?
So the first one we have is someone from called Rosie from Overton. Hi, Rosie. Your question is: what are the key differences between starting seeds indoors versus direct sowing them in the spring garden, and which plants benefit from most method? Rosie, this is a cracking question, because if you get this right, then it really unlocks all of your spring planting. So there's two things about which method to sow. Is does that plant tolerate disturbance to its roots? So yes, no. And is it hardy or not? By hardy, we mean, can it survive outside before, while there's still frosts and very low temperatures? So you're going to want to direct sow things which don't like having their roots disturbed. So basically think teenager in bedroom, do not disturb at your peril. And things like carrots and parsnips, the things which are going to grow really long tap roots, you're not going to want to sow them and move them. So you want to sow them where they grow. Things like tomatoes and chilies, you can start them off and move them out and move them on. That's like a 3-year-old who's just moving house all the time. So that's your disturbance level. And then on your temperature, you can direct sow things which can cope with it, the temperatures being low. So things like broad beans, you can whack straight in the ground now, not a problem. But things like runner beans and courgettes are half hardy. So you're going to want to start them off. If you want to start them now, but then don't plant them out until after the last frosts. So that's the two kind of things. If you get your head around those kind of two different key areas, Rosie, it will really help you work out what to do when. So I hope that helps. And thank you for such a great question.
Yeah, good question that, Rosie. Well done.
Yeah. And right, and let's go, shall we, next one. We've got a lovely question from Bob in Old Basing. Hello, Bob. Thank you for your question. Great one here. How can you effectively prepare your garden soil in early spring to optimise nutrient availability and drainage for upcoming plantings? Well, Bob, you're a man after my own heart, I think, because a lot of it is in the preparation. If you prepare, it makes everything grow so better. So no surprise, I'm going to say looking after your soil is how everything grows well. And in the spring garden, there's two things to do. First off, it's getting those weeds out, because those weeds get their perky little heads up before anything else. So before you plant anything, I would weed your vegetable patches, and then I would leave it for 2 weeks. And that's because when we ever disturb the soil, we're going to get new little bits of weed germination. But if you weed it, leave it 2 weeks, and then weed again, you've kind of got rid of two lots, if you see what I mean. So it's called the stale seedbed method, and it's a really good way of getting things started in a nice clean soil.
I can imagine people groaning, saying, oh, I've got to do some.
I know, I've got to wait. I know. It's really annoying, but I'm going to give you the advice and then you can feel free to ignore it.
Yeah.
And then nutrient availability, depending on your soil, you might want to whack some mulch on top of that. That's going to help. But I don't know where you are. You're in Basing, and sometimes in Basing, we get pockets of really clayey soil. So if you're worried about drainage, what I would be doing is I'd be whacking some potatoes. I'd be chitting up some potatoes, because potatoes are great for sorting out the drainage in your soil, because they make these huge, huge kind of like excavations under the soil. So it's a really good way of improving your drainage and getting some potatoes
using
at the same
something
time.
Natural to do the drainage.
Exactly. And also, it's much less work to plant a potato than to double dig it and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
you know,
you just dig a hole and drop it in, didn't you?
Pretty much, yeah. You chit them. So that's just basically leaving them in
chit
the light.
Them.
You chit them.
Oh, for the
C-H-I-T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that just makes getting them having sprouty eyes.
Okay.
Great. And then the next question we have is from Mary from South Ham. Thank you, Mary, for your question. You asked, what are some strategies for protecting young spring seedlings from late frosts or unexpected cold snaps? This is a great question, Mary, because I can tell you, weekends like we've just had, everyone is out in their gardens planting everything. And we're going to have a hot week this week. And then, do you know what? The temperature still could plummet. And we can still get frost. We can still get snow. We can still get lots of cold snaps. So, if you are worried at all, there's two things you can do. Firstly, you can put something called a cloche over your spring seedlings. That's a very posh word for a bit of plastic that you place over it. You can get them in little arches. You can even top. Get the top off those big milk bottles, cut that off, and then put that upside down over your spring seedling. So you're still getting the air and the light in, but you're not getting the temperature and you're not getting that big cold wind that you can sometimes whip through in your garden. So you can put that on. You can also have something called horticultural fleece, which is not a fleece like you and I would wear, Dave. It's not a hoodie. It's kind of like mesh, and you put it over hoops, and you can put it to kind of protect particular areas of your soil and your spring seedlings. So that's a good one. The other one I have not tried, but I've heard great things about, is old shearings of wool, which apparently are very cheap, and
All
you
right.
can put that round your seedlings. One, because apparently it deters slugs and snails, but also it gives them a bit of a cozy blanket. I've not
Very
tried it
nice.
personally. But listeners, dear listeners, if you have, please let us know. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
That's some good advice there. I like the duvet thing. That sounds quite fun.
It sounds very tempting, doesn't it? I'd quite like one of those. So thank you for making us think. Gemma in Tadley, you're up next. And Gemma's asking a great question. Which companion plant combinations are particularly beneficial for a spring veg garden and why? And by companion planting, we mean where you plant two plants of different types close to each other because they have mutually beneficial arrangements. So it's a bit like, sometimes you hear about these whales in the ocean and they have little fish which kind of hoover and clean them up.
Oh,
So in our spring garden, we can definitely use the same thing. So some classic examples are to deter aphids from your tomatoes and beans, you might want to plant
That's them flying things,
nasturtium.
isn't it?
They are the flying things. They're not that dangerous, but sometimes they can get a bit out of control, particularly as our ladybirds are quite low on numbers. But if you plant nasturtiums, that apparently helps deter the aphids. And similarly with carrots, we can get something called carrot fly because the carrots can smell out the lovely, juicy little tender carrots. But you can stop this by planting alliums, anything in the onion and the garlic family, because they're nice and stinky and that really deters, and basically it trick the carrot flies and they can't smell your lovely delicious carrots.
See, they're not that clever then, are they?
Well, they are very clever, but we can work with nature and kind of slightly divert where we want to.
My
So
dog
I hope
likes
those.
carrots. My
Oh
dog
wait,
likes carrots.
my dog loves carrots.
He
Loves
always knows
carrots.
when you're chopping them up. He always comes down the kitchen. He knows the noise of chopping a carrot.
Oh, my
Anyway,
dog
that's got
knows
nothing to do with gardening.
yeah. I know, but it's true. My dog knows the noise of the fridge, me opening the bit where the carrots are kept, and he knows the noise of the first scrape of the peeler. He's,
Oh,
well,
well, there you go.
dogs for the win, eh? Dogs and their carrot needs.
Sorry about that, Gemma. Sorry.
That's all right, Gemma. I hope that helps. Now, next we have a question from Karen in Overton, and she says, I've not finished pruning my roses. What should I do? Is it too late? Well, I wouldn't be pruning them really brutally now, Karen, because we're getting into the growing season. But what I would certainly do is go round them, and if there were any old leaves on your plants, I would take them off because they might have something called black spot, which is a rose disease that you're not going to like. And then I would just tidy up anything which is dead, diseased, or dying and give them a light prune. See how they do, give them a bit of a mulch. But I think you can just do that and see how they compare to the ones that you have pruned. So, never too late to
No,
garden, I
so
think, in
if you're
my view.
going to the hairdressers, Karen, just take the ends off.
Do you know what? That's
See?
just that's so right. Just take the ends
Just
off.
take the
Takes the
ends
ends off
off.
and whack a bit of conditioner through.
There
What
you
could go
go.
wrong?
Good question there.
Right, we've got three questions left and we're
Go on,
almost
yeah,
running
let's
out of
go on,
time, so
yeah,
I'm going
we
to go
can
super
squeeze it in.
fast.
Go on then, quick.
Yep. So Gary from Chinham is asking about, tell me about the good ways of managing spring garden pests without harsh chemicals. Well, Gary, go back and listen on the website to the podcast we did all about slugs. Basically, beer traps and nematodes are your friends. You don't need to resort to chemicals for that. With the aphids, anything to encourage ladybirds is a really good idea. You can hose them off with soapy water as well, but kind of tolerating aphids and encouraging more birds is going to really help you with your aphids. Sorry, that's brief, but good luck with it.
Yeah, but you can, like I say, you can download the slug one, can't you? And there's some good
Oh yeah,
information on
yeah.
there from the
There's
website.
a it's a good it's a good old deep dive into Slugageddon.
Absolutely.
Two left. We have got Jenny from Kingsfirlan, who is asking about common but interesting plants that contain herbs or edible flowers that you can plant in early spring. So not just flowers or vegetables, but other interesting things. Jenny, this is a great question. I would go for borage, which is a hardy annual, and you can sow it directly now. It's got really lovely blue flowers. The bees and the pollinators love it, but the petals are edible, and you can sprinkle them on top of your cakes. You can put them in ice cubes, and they look amazing in your gin and tonics and things like that. Or you can decorate them on the top of pretty little icing sugar things. So that's a cracking plant. If you want a bigger one, you can plant something like a cardoon, which is Cynaris cardunculus. It looks gigantic, really architectural and ornamental, but you can also eat it. And the birds love the seed heads as well. So it's a really interesting one of what we call edimentals, architectural but edible plantings, which are a really interesting thing.
That's good. That's
And
interesting. And don't forget, if you're going to eat them, make sure you wash them first.
yes, indeed, indeed. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Practice that hygiene. And then final question. I think we've just got time for one more,
Go on
have we,
then.
Dave?
Yeah, do that. Go
Okay.
on.
Sam from Overton is asking, what should I do about my hydrangeas? So there's lots of different types of hydrangeas. If you are in doubt, look at your hydrangea, look where the flowers were last year, go down, look to see where the next buds are growing, and snip to there. We can do a more detailed hydrangea pruning one maybe in a couple of weeks' time, where we can go into a bit more about the different types and which ones you can totally hack back and which ones you to just leave a bit more cover on. So maybe we'll pick that up next week, because that's the emergency way of how to prune a hydrangea. Just snip off to the next pair of buds, but we can go into that in more detail if people would find that helpful.
Well then, thank you very much for that, Claire. I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. We're going to do another Q&A in a couple of weeks.
Do you know what? I think
Shall
let's see
we?
what the
Let's
listeners
do
think. But
that.
we've got I love the questions. You ask
Yeah.
such brilliant questions, and it's lovely to hear what people are doing. So tell us your garden woes, tell us any plant problems you have, tell us if you've got difficult borders and you want some plant suggestions. We're really here
Yeah,
to
UK's got
help you.
difficult borders.
Oh,
Anyway, we won't go into that,
well,
will we, Claire? I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. Before you go, what's your song for today?
my song, just
Because the
because the
sun's
days have been
out.
so bright, the sun's out,
Yeah.
I thought we should have Mr. Blue Sky by
Oh.
Electric Light Orchestra, please.
Okay, then. I'll put it on for you in a minute.
Thanks so much.
I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Speak to you
Bye.
soon. Bye-bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.